current status of the project. Obviously, you will have heard some of the stuff already today, and so I'll probably go a lot faster than I would normally go. At the end, I'll do a Q&A session, so that way you can feel all those annoying questions, and hopefully I'll be able to answer them. Next. Ah, okay. Current state of the project. There we are. So what do we have now? Yeah, I still have to train him, so he's not very good at it. Okay, so current status of OS4. We got the kernel running. We got a full system running. We're migrating existing 68K modules to PPC. Other than that, all the functionality that we featured for OS4. You're not skipping ahead, are you? Oh, okay. Well, that we have on the feature list already implemented, minus a few minor things that we won't have time for the CyberStorm PPC version. Okay, next. Okay, this is a list, non-exhaustive, by the way, because in the meanwhile, some parts are supported. This is a list of PPC modules that we have already available for OS4. Well, there is a next page, I believe, even. There we go. And in the meanwhile, in the 2 days that I've been over from Europe, another three or two modules were already imported.
Test.
It's going quite well. We're really getting the hang of how we have to do it, and the development is speeding along. So the version that you're seeing of OS4 that's available here on the show is actually outdated by at least 10 days or so. And during those 10 days, a lot of progress was made. And if we keep this up, we might actually finish it. That would be a good thing. Okay, next. Okay, these are some modules that we're currently working on, and they haven't been converted. I mean, especially P96, Picasso 96, the RTG system, we want to integrate that together with graphics library and move that over to PPC. Some of the things will be rewritten from 68K assembly to PPC assembly for optimum speed. Okay. Afterwards, we're going to do some other modules that are listed there, especially the fast file system and the Ghost Script and PDF technology is CPU intensive. What we decided to do is start out with the modules that are particularly frequently called: timer device, input device, intuition layers, and other modules are less performance critical, so we didn't really start out with that. Having said that, at the end of the ride, about 95% of the operating system will be fully PPC native. Some of those things will, the remaining 5% will be stuff that's not performance critical or where we don't actually have a source code available to us in C. Example: AirX, completely coded in 68K assembly. And you can't easily re-implement it without breaking a lot of stuff. So we're just going to keep that and emulate it. That works fine, so that's not a problem. Okay. So we got the OS4 feature list that was released on Amiga.com quite some time ago. And this just lists a couple of the things that we haven't had time yet to do. The major difference between what we have now and what we should have, according to the features list, is the 3D drivers. We haven't had any time to work on those because those two guys that are doing those, Thomas Frieden and Hans-Jörg Frieden from Hyperion, have been extremely busy on actually doing the system, so they haven't gotten around to the 3D drivers. So what we'll do is we'll just recompile the current WAP3D, improve it a bit, and then integrate it into the package with the new drivers coming along afterwards. Okay, by the way, we are releasing this presentation on the World Wide Web, on AmigaWorld.net in HTML format, so if it's going all a bit too fast for you, you can catch up on the internet. Next. Okay, have a little talk about the kernel now, ExecSG, the second generation exec. And this is basically a screenshot of exec in action. It's 100% PPC code. Most of it is C code. We also got a few thousand lines of PPC assembly for the hardware abstraction layer, which takes care of the individual platforms, Amiga One, Cyberstorm, Blizzard PPC, and potentially any other platform. Okay, so one of the things is that there is a very little difference between a 68K program and a PPC program under OS 4. We don't actually use a sandbox emulation. We use a TOS-based emulation system. Now, you need to know, of course, when we're dealing with 68K code and when we're dealing with PPC code. So we came up with a mechanism that it basically locates 68K code in a separate 256 megabyte segment, which is then marked as non-executable by the MMU. And every time somebody tries to execute one of those, something that's located in that block, an exception or a mechanism will be triggered, which indicates that we're dealing with 68K code, and the emulator, the inbuilt emulator will kick in at that point. The mechanism actually is a lot more sophisticated, but frankly, I don't really understand it all that well. So, okay, well, and go right ahead, next one. And this is the hardware abstraction layer, which allows us to migrate the kernel over to a different PPC hardware platform in the space of a couple of days. Probably no more than 4 or 5 days, we can get it running on any PowerPC hardware. I mean, but that's just the kernel. That's not the full operating system. I mean, if you are, for instance, thinking of running it on Apple hardware, we could get the kernel over quite quickly. But, I mean, then you have all the device drivers, IDE, Ethernet, all that stuff, USB, you would all need to be adapted to get a full operating system. We're just talking about the kernel here. Okay, next. Okay, this is a crash requester from execsg. As you can see, it's quite a bit different from the ones that you're used to now under OS 3.9 or 3.1, whatever the case may be. One of the important things is that you can kill the task, and it'll happen a lot cleaner than is the case now. But what is especially important, especially for developers, is that you can actually debug the crash task using a GDB debugger, which is available on Linux, and which is no doubt one of the most powerful debugging environments available. As a result, you'll be able to pinpoint exactly where a crash task, why it crashed, what the stack frame is, and so forth. And this will allow debugging to proceed a lot more reliably and a lot faster than is the case now. I'm just going to throw meaningful glances at you. It's working? Okay. Well, anyway, so what's the functionality of the kernel? Basically, all of it that the current exec has to offer. Some areas have been improved. Then we got your typical modern functionality, virtual memory. We also got resource tracking and management. And we got memory protection, although in a limited form. We protect unallocated memory. We protect code fragments, the kernel itself. More we can't do any more, to be honest, because otherwise we'll break a lot of programs. But we are planning to move to isolated address spaces down the line. But the memory protection is already a big step up. I mean, as it is, OS 4 is already running more stable than 3.9 because of the added functionality and the limited memory protection that we incorporated. Okay, well, yeah, we got a single virtual address space. And there is now an exception handler for, and there's also a MMU API, so you can use the MMU to protect your own code if you feel the need, or use the MMU for whatever other purpose you have in mind. One thing we still need to do is implement a pager when virtual memory kicks in and pages need to be swapped out and swapped in. That mechanism still needs to be implemented. Other than that, all that functionality is already there. And especially the stack, we're doing some interesting stuff with the stack. If you know Stack Attack, for instance, on AmiNet, that's already in the system. But what we've got is even better. We're automatically extending the stack. As soon as the stack is about to run out, a mechanism will kick in and say, hey, you know, it's about to run out. Let's allocate some more pages to it. Because I think like 30 to 40% of the crashes on the Amiga are actually due to insufficient stack space. And that might bring down the entire system. That's not going to happen anymore. The stack is being dynamically allocated using the MMU functionality that we've built in exec. Okay, that's the basically the Thomas Friedman to-do list. We are using a generic PCI library, which allows us to support Mediator, Prometheus PCI expansions, and also the Amiga 1 PCI. So that once you write a PCI driver for one of those things, it'll be available across the board. So you no longer have to go around using the LBOX library, the Prometheus library, the Amiga 1 library. You just write one driver, and it should, in principle, work on all supported hardware. Let me see what else is in there. Multithreading. Yes, we want to implement multithreading, but that won't be happening before 4.1. And that's actually the basis for POSIX threads, which will allow us to port things like Mozilla much more easily, and also will form the basis of SMP support. We already have a fully-fledged design for that. We still don't have time to implement it, and we don't want to keep you waiting eternally. So, I don't think there would be a lot of understanding from the audience if we decided, well, you know, wait another couple of months, you know, when we're working on the multithreading now. So you've been doing fine without that for so long, so it can wait. And, okay, the SMP support. Okay, next. Okay, let me say a couple of words about the 68K emulation technology and why it's different in OS4 compared to other versions, technologies like for instance, Amitlon. We are not using... Yeah, we're not actually using a sandbox. So that means that we're using a task-based emulation. This has a lot of advantages. For instance, the first thing is, in a sandbox, you only have the old 3.1 API available to the program. The old legacy program, it doesn't know anything about the new functionality of the kernel. The only thing it knows is it thinks it's running on 3.1 or 3.5, 3.9. It doesn't know it's running on XXSG. That's not the case on the technology we're using, because this allows us to actually have old programs, 3.5, 3.9 based programs, to use the new functionality of the kernel. It can use transparently without any intervention of the programmer, and he didn't even know it existed at the time. It can use virtual memory. It will be protected by memory protection to some extent, and it can also use resource tracking and other mechanisms of the new kernel, like, for instance, the stack extension mechanism. Another advantage is that we'll be able to easily migrate individual system libraries, or even when you have a program that consists of a main library and a couple of plugins, you'll be able to just convert a plugin to PPC and keep the rest of 68K. And, you know, as a user, you would never know, but performance-wise, it would be a big jump. So you're not forced as a developer to migrate the entire application over to PPC. You can just migrate those libraries that are particularly CPU-intensive. Or you can do it, you go library at a time, piecemeal conversion, and that'll save a lot of work on the part of the developer. Okay, well you also have we got two emulation systems. One is an interpretive emulation, which is running all the time and is integrated into the kernel. And what it does is it just translates instructions on the fly. Every time a 68K instruction is encountered, it gets translated into a PPC instruction, and it does that all the time. That is actually integrated into the kernel, so that old style devices can run, and then also system modules, which are 68K assembly, can run. That reaches on even on a lowly Cyberstorm. That reaches 0.4033 speeds, which is of course nothing to write home about. But that's quite all right, really, for some of the stuff that we have going. I mean, especially when you know compared it to the Amiga 1, 800 megahertz architecture. Well, it's currently running at 933, by the way. So that's a massive jump, especially when you figure in the advanced memory architecture. But the real boon for current applications is the JIT, just-in-time dynamic recompilation of 68K code, and that reaches speeds of beyond an 06050, even on a Cyberstorm.